We believe, Father, that you are the source. You are the source. And as we go to the resource of your word, let it always direct us to your source. In Matthew 12, Matthew chapter 12, glory. In Matthew 12 and verse 38, let's read this together. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet of Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. This is a very powerful scripture. And one of the things is the Lord talks about what the world is seeking. The world is always seeking a sign. A what? Sign. And the sign that will be given to this generation is the resurrection of new life. The what? Resurrection of new life. That is the greatest sign that can ever be. Does everybody got it? New life, regenerated, brand new life is a sign. Now, their request was evidence that their continuous religious blindness and unfaithfulness to God was right there. Because their religion had blinded them. Why? Because they had seen Jesus do signs already. They had already known. But they're always challenging him to give more. But the greatest sign he was going to give him was the resurrection of a new life, bringing that which was dead alive. People are always looking for a sign. No matter what it may be, they're always looking for a sign to confirm, a sign of direction. Even when you drive down the road, you're always looking for a sign, aren't you? Amen? Why? Because we're always looking for something to confirm that which we've been asked to do. And there's nothing wrong with a sign. But understand that the enemy will send a sign also. He loves to send signs to God's people. Go to Matthew 16. In verse 1. Matthew 16 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came, testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered to them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to except the sign of the prophet Jonah." And he left them and departed. He called them hypocrites. Why? Because they could not discern the timing of God's will. He called them a hypocrite. Why? Because they could not discern the timing of God's will. Why? Because it was God Almighty, the Eternal One, who came into the natural realm to be the sign. He was the sign and wonder. And they couldn't discern that. Why? Because it was God's timing. Now we know that Jesus was birthed into the natural realm, but he didn't go out and about till he was older, and his ministry was only about 3 years old. Maybe three and a half years. But he was about 30 years old. So he wasn't out and about doing things because he was doing things according to the will of God, which is God's timing. And what he was saying to them, how can you be so, you hypocrites. How can you discern the times of what's around you, but you can't discern the things that are so important of God's timing? Has everybody got it? And he rebuked them. And he said, the only sign I'm going to show you, which is going to be a fulfillment of my time here, is I'm going to die and I'm going to rise. But they still couldn't get that anyways. Anyway, because the religious beliefs, even though it was written in front of them in the scriptures, in the book of Isaiah, that this would happen, they still would not believe. They always wanted a sign because it didn't happen the way they expected it to. It didn't happen according to their agenda. It didn't happen according to their own belief system. But it happened according to the Word of God. And they still could not see it. And Revelation 16. Oh, that we may get out of the way. Revelation 16. Is everybody there in verse 12? Let's read it together. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons, performing what? Signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. The dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, out of their mouths came like frogs, or they were spirits of demons, performing signs. These signs misled people because they couldn't discern correctly and not willing to confirm its origin of authenticity. Is everybody with me? In other words, if they were willing to confirm it, they would realize that it was not of God. I got to share something with you which is very important, because even when you're looking for a sign from God, you must confirm it. Because the demons will love to trick you. Always try to give you a sign to confirm. See, they know when you've come in agreement with something they've said. Are you listening? They know when, listen, when you come in agreement with a voice of the stranger says, the demons know. So what they do is they play God's people. And they play them in the area where they will confirm what they heard. But see, the thing is no one, too many people do not check the sign as authenticity. They just take the sign and run and think, oh, that's confirmed what I believe. No, you'll be misled. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Let me tell you something. It's important right now. Very, very important that sign that has been given to you be searched out. Be searched out. Where did that sign come from? Is that the sign from my father? Is that the sign of deception? Because when you come in agreement with something, The enemy knows. You might be waiting on something. You come in agreement with it. Because when you come in agreement with the enemy, he's trying to get a sign in here as quick as possible. So it will mislead an individual. Wasn't he doing it here? Look it. They fell into a place of extreme desire because they wanted a sign to confirm what they believed. They fell into a place of extreme desire that it flaws their belief system and sets them up for a trap. Why? Because they did not check out the authenticity. That's a tough one. Shupakaya tuso? So they didn't check the authenticity of that sign. The origin. Where did that sign come from? Too many people take the sign, oh, I got it confirmed, and take off. And that sign wasn't even of God. Why? Didn't we just read that these signs can be from what? Demons. Let's go to Psalm 1. We're just going to flow so we can grow. Psalm 1. So do you believe it's important that we check the authenticity, whatever it is, authenticity? How about the origin of that sign? Let's find out where that sign come from. So one of the things we want to do is confirm it. We want to find out, right? Well, the Bible says in a multitude of counsel, there's what? Safety and wisdom. So you always want to check it out. The Bible says out of the mouth of two witnesses, it's what? Confirmed. Now, you don't go around calling somebody to try to confirm it. Hello? Hey, do you agree with this? That's just plumb stupid. Because people will search for someone to try and find out if they agree with what they believe. Oh, I got the sign. Yeah, I called up 15 people and two of them agreed. Now, if somebody comes up and warns you, and another person comes up and warns you, you better be careful. Because out of the mouth of two witnesses, it's established. So when you've been warned twice by two different people, you better be very careful. Because that's confirming the word, isn't it? So you got to check that out. In Psalm 1, verse 1, it says, blessed is the man who what? Walks not in the counsel of the godly. Right? So what's the devil want to do? He wants to get you cursed. So he has access to you. But it says, blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law he meditates day and night, right? Well, why is he doing that? So that anything that may come up, he can utilize the word of God to judge what's of God and what isn't. Now, even though when it seems to be of God, is it God's timing? Because if it's not God's timing, it isn't God's will. And one of the things the enemy always wants to do is move you out of God. Let me tell you, he loves to use the word on us. But that's where you must be in the spirit and discern what is of God's timing or not. I see many people move out of God's timing. Because their desire speaks louder than the voice of God. Praise God. Let's go a little further. And understand this. People think that getting counsel is getting approval. Getting counsel is not getting approval. Getting counsel is getting confirmation. It's never an approval. It's a confirmation. It's never what? An approval. Counsel is not an approval. Counsel is confirmation to find out what you're supposed to do. But remember, your desire will speak louder than the voice of God. And you'll be sure that you heard from God. Remember, counsel is not approval, it's confirmation. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 18, let's read it together. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are what? Perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise and where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. In other words, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are saved, the message is truth. It is what? It is truth. It is to our aid, wisdom, and salvation. The message is to our aid, wisdom, and salvation, and the purpose of that is to perform the will of God so that you and I can receive the promise and become a sign and wonder. Say what? So that we can receive the promise and become a what? A sign and wonder. Well, isn't the world looking for a sign? Weren't you supposed to be the sign and wonders? Amen. So if you're the sign and wonder, there are areas of things that you and I must do. Okay, again, I want to share this. To the world, the message of the cross is foolishness. Those people are perishing. But to you and I, it's truth. And by obeying the truth, we're doing the will of God. And by doing the will of God, we receive the promise. Go to Hebrews 10. And when we receive the promise, we become a what? A sign and wonder. We become a what? Glory. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 35. Let's read it together. Therefore, do not cast away your what? Confidence, which has what? Great reward. Who's your confidence in? In the Lord. Why? Because He's your source and everything else is a what? Resource. For you have need of what? Endurance. You gotta fight. You gotta fight. Endurance. You got to fight. The word endurance is also associated with patience. For you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God that you may what? Receive the promise. Wow. For yet a little while and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So we are in need of endurance, right? To do the will of God to receive the promise. Now, when this was the will of God, is it the will of God that every man be saved? Yes. But there's something to receive that promise. So the will to receive the promise of salvation, you must repent for your sins and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and your Savior. That's the will of God. Now you receive the promise of salvation. Now you must work out your salvation. And that's to cooperate with God all the way through. Because there are people who will turn away from it. There are people who will exchange it. Who will be bribed. Who will be deceived. And exchange it for the will of man. Instead of doing the will of God. So they received the promise. Go to Acts 2. Acts chapter 2. Everybody say, I've been rescued to be a sign and wonder. Acts 2 and verse 38. Let's read it. Then Peter said to him, repent and try again. No. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the what? Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So, he said something. He said, repent, right? Be baptized and ask to get the Holy Spirit. Amen? And you will receive it. Why? Because it's a promise. It's a promise. So in this promise of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit causes you to be a sign and wonder. You can't help it, but be a sign and wonder. Why? Because you are now walking in the power of the Spirit of God. You no longer desire the things you used to desire. You no longer react according to the way you used to, because you respond now. You are now overcoming temptation. You are now departing from evil. You are now speaking different than you used to. You are now thinking different than you. In other words, you are now a sign and wonder. A sign and wonder. Now remember, the world, the generation is looking for a sign, aren't they? They're looking for a what? A sign. So we're to be that sign to them. That's why many people and kids and so, they're going to the occult, they're going to all kinds of, because they're looking for a sign. Why? Because to them a sign is truth. But there's many false signs out there. Many. Many false signs. And in that, you and I must maintain an area so that we can become and maintain being a sign and wonder. Go to Mark 16. Hello. In Mark 16. In verse 15. Let's read it together. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be what? Condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Why? Because they're a sign. So signs and wonders will always follow a sign and wonder. Has everybody got it? And what is some of these signs? He says, in my name they will what? Cast out demons. They will speak with what? New tongues. Even the Bible says that speaking in tongues is a sign to an unbeliever. Ever when I go out in places and I start praying in the Spirit, so man, what you, are you speaking Hebrew? Are you speaking, what you saying? Now there's times when God will speak to somebody in another language and I won't know. And he'll be speaking to them. But you never know. But it is a sign. It's a sign to the lost. And in my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents and they'll drink anything deadly and by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. These are signs. See, you're to be a sign and a wonder. So when somebody at your job is having convulsions, you're not going to run to 911. You're going to send somebody else to do that and you're going to go lay hands on that person. Hello? You're not going to run out of the building and scream down the street going, help! Help! That ain't a sign. That's a sign of something else. I'm not going there right now. That's a sign of you out of position. Signs should be following. Signs and wonders follow a sign and wonder. Whatever it is. Psalm 40. Psalm 40 and verse 1. So, you think the enemy wants to disqualify you and be in a sign and wonder? Amen. Why? Because he fears you. The powers of darkness fear us, but they'll never confess it because they lie anyways. But they fear us because we expose them. And we have dominion over them. And they don't want to be found. See, this is not a game of religion. This is not a game of knowledge. This is truth. This is truth. And this is, and I believe this is why God's storm is coming. I believe this wind is coming because it's exposing the heart of his children. It's exposing the heart of his body. Where are they at? Where are my children at? I know where they're at, but they don't know where they're at. And Psalm 40 and verse 1, would you read it with me? I what? I waited patiently for the Lord. Now that word patient means to endure. And he inclined to me and heard my cry. But what did this person do? He what? He waited patiently. He endured no matter what. In other words, he waited for the answer instead of moving out of assumption. Why? Because when you get the answer, you move in faith. Without the answer, you move in assumption. He also brought me out of a horrible pit. So you see the result of it? Because the answer came. Out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Many will see it in what? Fear. Why? Because you'll become a sign and wonder. You know, I'll never forget the first time my ex-wife saw me. Because I didn't see her for a long time. We were divorced for three years, but she said we'd seen each other a couple times, but I didn't remember really too much. I remember a few times, but she would just, whatever. And after my visitation from the Lord and getting filled with the Spirit of God, and I saw her about a week later, and she called me an alien and poked me, wanted to know if I was real. And she said, whatever it is you have, I want it. I don't know what happened to you, but whatever happened to you, I want it. Because if whatever happened to you was done by God, then he can do it for me. When I got off that plane, I was a sign and wonder. See, one of the things the enemy doesn't want you to really realize is who you are. And on my flight there, as I was flying to New Mexico, I think I was next to some religious guy. So I was trying to share with him what happened with me. We started talking. He started sharing all this other stuff. And I said, and I heard, why don't you just shut up? Be quiet. Because this guy's going to drain you or whatever, you know. And I was trying to share things. And it was just, this guy just didn't get it. But he was supposed to be religious or whatever. But he didn't get it. So I just be quiet. But when I got off the plane and my wife saw me, she was amazed. But then as days went by, it was being confirmed more and more by signs. There were signs that were following. There were things that were happening. Things that I was asking for that were manifesting. Things were just happening. The presence of God and the glory of God. All kinds of things that were, there were signs that were following the sign and wonder. Not because of anything I did, but because of what he did. And she began to believe more and more and more. Until finally she walked by. I was in the bathroom one day praying in the spirit. And the anointing was so strong. And she walked by the bathroom and I heard this thunk. And she fell into the bathroom door and just slid down and just began to weep and cry. But see, it had to start off with a sign. See, you're the sign and wonder. People you used to know, people you used to see, they're like, whoa, what happened to you? You're either going to be a sign and wonder or a sign and blunder. And let me share something with you, which is very important, and we'll get more to this. By being a sign and wonder, you will leave a legacy. You will leave a legacy. And no matter what you've done and what you've gone through, all of that God will wipe away. And you will leave a legacy of righteousness and not a legacy of blunder. Because many of the things that we've done in the old life, things of how our children looked at us and all the other things that we've done, and how people looked at us, how many bridges we burned, how many times, all kinds of stuff in our life of our past, God will wipe away. He will wipe away. And you will become a sign and wonder and leave a legacy. How many of y'all want to leave a legacy? Amen. So that your children will talk about you. Your children will talk about you. Yeah, they may hear about things. They used to talk about, oh, my mom, my dad, this, that. They did this. They were drinkers. They were addicts. They were messed up. They were mistreated, this, that. Whatever it may be, all of that will be wiped away. Your boss, people you used to hang around with, all of a sudden, all that will go. And you will leave a legacy of a godly woman or a godly man. Your children will speak about it. Your family will speak about it. They'll have no choice because they won't be able to say anything bad about you. Oh, hallelujah. That's because you're to be a sign and wonder. He waited patiently, endured. If truly walking in the Spirit, if you're truly walking in the Spirit, you will have the fruit of patience. And that's to endure. We are to be a sign and wonder so we can leave a legacy of a sign and wonder. Of what? Now let me share with you about this. And we've talked about some of this on a Saturday morning. You will leave a legacy as a sign and wonder of what we spoke, what we did, and what we didn't do. Are you listening? Of what we spoke or what we said, what we did or what we didn't do. In other words, well, man, you know what? They didn't follow the unrighteous. Oh, they followed the righteous. They did this. They were givers. They were this. Oh, did you hear what was said? They talked about the oracles of God. So, as you're walking in faith, you're going to respond, aren't you? Because you're walking in the Spirit. You're not going to react to the old. So you will be a sign and wonder by what you say, what you do, and what you don't do. We must hold on to who we are as a sign and wonder by maintaining a level of humility, anointing, and obedience. Humility, anointing, and obedience. It only takes a half a step back to start fighting for your life again. You must respect what you have and be thankful. You have a supernatural calling, not a natural calling. You have a what? Supernatural calling, not a natural calling. Why? Because we are the sign. We are the wonder. We are the resource of the source. Was Jesus a sign and wonder? Did he not give him the sign? Amen. He rose from the dead. Now, you are the sign of a new life. You are the sign and wonder of a new life. Because you know what? Many times, many people, And you've talked to many people who've turned to Jesus, but then they would go back out and defile the name of the Lord. So many people out in the world always hear, well, yeah, I know. Are you one of those Jesus people? Yeah, I've seen. Yeah, my brother was one of those. My sister was one. My mother was one. Yeah, they would go to church and they would do this and they would do that. And they would drink and party on the weekends. And they would swear and cuss and gamble and beat up one another and all kinds of other stuff. Well, see, that's been portrayed now. The enemy has used that to prevent individuals from believing in Jesus. But when they see you as a sign and wonder. See, because sometimes they're waiting for us to blow it. I think some of my family's still waiting for me to blow it. But see, I gave it. I gave that life away for a new life. When I was asked, you want a new life? I said, yes. And he said, show me. Ooh, you mean there was a price? Yes, there was a price. And there's a price to maintain it. And there's that area as being a sign and wonder. Maintaining the levels of humility, anointing, and obedience that you can maintain to be a sign and wonder. Is everybody with me? Why? Because we have a supernatural calling, not a natural calling. Is everybody all right? Proverbs 22. Praise God. Everybody slap your neighbor and tell them. Tell them you're supernatural. Proverbs 22, verse 4. Let's read it. By what? Humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Ooh. There are what? Riches, honor, and life. Verse 5. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. In other words, you are to guard your mind, your will, and your emotions. You're to guard your what? Your mind, your will, and emotions. Why? So you can maintain. In Proverbs 21, it's right before 22. In verse 15 and 16, let's read it. It is a joy for the what? Just to do justice. But destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. A man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest where? In the assembly of the dead. Wow. Wanderers from understanding will end up in the assembly of the dead. In other words, the enemy sets trends to sway the righteous because he wants to disqualify you from being a sign and wonder. He's always going to try to trip you up. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 1. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. Let's read it together. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the what? Faith, which is spiritual sight. Giving heed to deceiving spirits. And doctrines of what? Demons. In other words, there are deceiving. A deceiving spirit is also a seducing spirit. And it says that and many will fall from the faith. In other words, they will lose spiritual sight by deceiving and seducing spirits. They will come with the doctrine of demons, or what we call the doctrine of flesh, to disqualify you as a sign and wonder. They will bring false peace and false confirmation. Why? Because of the confusion or not understanding the truth of God's word to confirm it. Everybody got it? It will bring false peace and false confirmation. You know, you can have a peace in the beginning, but then it changes. It changes. In other words, you have a peace when you complete something, don't you? But that's not the peace of God. Does everybody understand that? That's a peace of self. Man, I finished it. Whew. All right, I got peace now. No, you got rest because you're done. But the enemy loves to bring false peace to people. He loves to confirm things by a false peace. But that false peace will turn into torment. Because that false peace will be a push, not a lead. And we must discern those things. You know, when the flesh's desire gets something, it has a peace. When the desire of the flesh and the desire of the soul gets what it wants, it has a peace. And it's a false peace. But it doesn't last. It will turn into torment. Always does. And, you know, and if an individual is not having an understanding of the truth of God's word, they can't confirm what they just got. Or if they're not willing to get counsel or confirm it or something today, how are they going to know? Then they walk in this peace. Well, I have peace. I had peace when I slipped my wrists. I had peace. It was the first time I had peace in years. I slipped my wrist, tried to kill myself. I wanted to die because I couldn't take the torment. I couldn't take the torment of the demons and the addictions and the guilt and condemnation. And when I pulled that blade out and slipped both of my wrists, I had peace. But my father didn't have peace about it. And he sent someone and kicked the door in and rescued me. But my only way out of torment was death. But I had peace. First time I had peace in a long time. But it wasn't the right peace, was it? Why do you think people cut themselves? They're looking for what? Peace. But those are demons causing people to cut themselves. Why do you think people go to drink and do drugs? What are they looking for? Peace. But it ain't the right peace. Because the end result is what? Torment. And you can try and justify everything and go to the next one to try and find the peace and try and find the peace and try and find. And you can find somebody that's going to agree with you to bring you peace, but it'll be false because the end result will be manifested by the fruit. Romans 12, verse 2. Let's read it together. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we know that there's three wills of God. There's the good. And in the good will of God, there's a desire for righteousness. There's a desire for righteousness and a denial of self. That is good will. And the acceptable will, there's a desire for righteousness, a denial of self, and a cooperation with God Almighty, allowed a training. Hello. And the perfect will is a desire for righteousness, the denial of self, the cooperation with the allowing of the training, and sold out to the source with patience and endurance. And willing to repeat the good and acceptable will to maintain the perfect. How you got it? Get the tape. In the perfect will of God, there is no want. Everyone tell me, say it. In the perfect will of God, there's what? No want, because the Lord is your shepherd. And you shall not what? Want or lack. So in the perfect will of God, there is no lacking. Why? Because the perfect will of God is also associated with wisdom. And one of the things God wants us to do is walk in the perfect will. And there are rewards for each level of the will of God. There are promises. And I'm not going to get into any of those. In Acts 17. So you must renew your mind, right? So you must confirm according to the word of God. But if you don't understand the Word of God in certain areas, are you going to be able to confirm things? No. You'll need to go get counsel to confirm it. That's why pride's a killer. That's why pride goes before a fall. Why do people make mistakes? Because it's something they didn't understand. They didn't understand. And their belief system somewhere is flawed, and that's what the enemy hit for to cause that person to make a wrong choice. Maybe you come in agreement with the voice of a stranger, and he confirmed it for you. But you never checked it out. You never checked out the sign. You just, okay, I'll do it. You know, you can ask God for, oh, Lord, I want a certain car at a certain color. And you could be driving down the road and find one. Oh, there it is. Well, pull in the parking lot and come to find out you got $3,000 a month payment. But you confirmed it. No, man. No. God does not put you in bondage. He sets you free from bondage. But I'm telling you, I've talked to people who have told me some of the strangest granola stories. It's been phenomenal. In Acts 17, in verse 24, Acts 17 and verse 24. Hallelujah. Let's read it together. God who made the what? The world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. For he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. So there are pre-appointed meetings. There are pre-appointed what? Meetings. What do you mean? Well, God has pre-appointed. Once you become a sign and wonder, now you're falling into God's will. And when you're falling into God's perfect will, he's got pre-appointed appointments. These are not cold calls. He's got things pre-appointed for you to be a sign and wonder to meet certain people according to the perfect will of God. Those are pre-appointments. He sets things up because you are a sign and wonder. You just never realize what's happening. He says, look, if you acknowledge me in all of your ways, I'll establish your steps. If you commit to me your works, I'll establish your thoughts. So you'll just get an unction, and it better be by God, to go do something. You know, there's been many times I could have put things off to do something over the weekend, and all of a sudden I can't shake it. It's like, all right, I'll go do it now. And I'll get up and I'll go to the store or go to an auto parts place or somewhere just to get the part or buy something. And there's somebody there waiting to talk to me because God has pre-appointed it. I can't tell you how many times I've gone into Publix and I've run into somebody I haven't seen in 10 years. And I'm like, whoa, and a person will say, man, I was just thinking about you. Thinking, whoa. Well, you better repent and try again. What's up? If God's sending me somewhere, it's for something. If he's sending you, why? Because you're a sign and wonder, aren't you? So his pre-appointed meetings for you as you become a sign and wonder. That's why it's so important for you to walk in the perfect will of God. So when he tells you to do it, you go by faith. But there is an unction. There's an unction. Yesterday I was downstairs. And as I was downstairs and I was sitting there, I was doing something, all of a sudden it kept coming to me. Come to me. Come up. Come up. Man, so I stopped, I ran up the stairs, I went in the bedroom, I started praying. What's up? Nothing, I want to know if you'd come. Okay. So then I started doing something up there in the room, and I think I picked the Bible up and started reading, whatever. And I thought, I started praying. I'm like, well, what's up? I just wanted to know if you would come. I said, okay. And I hung out for a few minutes, read some scriptures, and went downstairs again. Training. Hello? He wants to know if he can come. Why? Because he wants to send us. Psalm 31. Psalm 31 and verse 14. Let's go to verse 13. For I hear the slander of many, fears on every side. While they take counsel together against me, they scheme to take away my life. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God, and my times, in other words, my appointments, are what? In your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me, and make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. And do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contentiously against the righteous. He says, my times are in your hand. David was doing spiritual warfare to walk out the will of God, to keep the preappointed times. When you go ahead of God, and this is where you got to be careful, you open yourself up to familiar spirits. And that's why the Bible says, be anxious for nothing but prayer and supplication, and the peace of God will surpass your understanding. So you don't have to understand it. But when you become anxious, and that's what the enemy wants to do, because what's he trying to do? He's trying to disqualify you as a sign and wonder and mess up your pre-appointments. Because he's got certain people he's got set up for you to be a sign and wonder to. So think about if the body of Christ, the whole body of Christ, is a sign and wonder, how many people that God has got pre-appointments for everybody that day? Wherever you may go, and you may see that same person over and over, but the seed was planted, now you're watering, watering, and watering. Why? Because you're supernatural. You are not natural. You're an eternal light, not a human light. So when you go ahead of God, you open yourself up to familiar spirits. And what happens is usually an individual comes to that area because a familiar spirit will begin to speak to them. And I'm telling you, people will believe that that's the Holy Spirit, and they'll swear to God that they're hearing from God. And what happens is pride gets established, and the heart becomes hardened. Because when you're rejecting God's voice, your heart becomes hardened. Even if you're accepting the voice of the spirit of another spirit, your heart becomes hardened. And what happens is in the individuals, they don't seek counsel because the voice of desire has overpowered the voice of truth. People give up their position in the body of Christ for fulfillment of the position in the body of the emotional feelings. They'll exchange a position. I've seen many people give up a position in the body of Christ for fulfillment of the flesh and move right out of position. Divine order of God's preset appointments is now out of order in this individual's life, and are disqualified as a sign and wonder, and they become vagabonds in the body of Christ. What do you mean by vagabonds? They run from one place to another to try to fulfill what they believe. And they can never get fulfillment, and they can never fulfill the perfect will of God. They're trying to fill a position they never earned. Frustrated by life's trials and confused to the plan of God, they have fallen out of divine order. It is important. It is very, very important that we maintain the humility, the anointing, and the obedience as a sign and wonder. Go to Matthew 7. That's why the Bible tells us in the latter days, many believers will get itchy ears because they're going to look for people that are willing to agree with what their flawed belief system is. And they'll miss the pre-appointed times that God has for them. They will become disqualified as a sign and wonder because they're willing to give up the position in the body of Christ to fulfill their own desire, which was implanted by the enemy anyways. Terrible place to be. In Matthew 7, is everybody there? In verse 15, what does it say? Let's read this. Beware of what? False prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. False voices. False voices from false prophets. There are voices out there that are not the voice of God. There is a voice of desire. There's a voice of demons. And we must know them by their fruits. We do not want to lose the area of being a sign and wonder. So this sign, you'll also know by its fruit, won't you? You'll need to confirm these signs. These confirmations that God is, that are coming forth, whether they are of God or not, or it will move you out of position. And once you are out of divine order, the enemy has access to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, the Bible says something very important. All things are lawful, but not all things are what? Helpful. Helpful. And those things that are not helpful can lead you into a place of getting out of divine order. Even though it may not seem like sin, it can bring a disorder. Listen, there may be good intentions, but what's the motive? And those are areas that we must always look at. Why? Because you'll know by fruit. You got to check the motive. See, because the enemy likes to justify us with good intentions. But what's truly the motive? What is the motive on it? What is truly the motive? If everybody would write down their motive of what they're getting ready to do and what their decision is, believe me, there are times you wouldn't do the things you're about to. Because you would realize the motive is manipulation. The motive is a desire for selfish ambitions, a motive. What is the motive? And you'll know the motive by the fruit. And whatever that motive is, if its fruit are bad, it means you've come in agreement with the voice of the stranger. And he's going to set you up with a sign that's going to confirm what you heard. But the end result is disastrous. It's torment, it's disorder, and it's an exchange and a position in the body of Christ for the position of the body of feelings. And it is only temporary, isn't it? Do not lose sight of who you are as a sign and wonder. Maintain humility, the anointing, and obedience at all cost, because the storm is here. And it's ripping through the body of Christ. And it's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger till everything that cannot be shaken will stand. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we give you all the glory and all the honor and praise. We thank you for your word. We thank you for revelation. We thank you for impartation. And we ask, Lord, that you would remove anything was a false confirmation. Remove it all from us, Lord. We repent for any sign that we've not tested out that was a false sign. We repent for coming in agreement with the voice of the enemy. We repent, Father, for motives that we didn't search out the fruit and justified it in our own hearts. Lord, wash us with the blood of our spirit, soul, and body, and flesh. And fill us with your spirit, that we may be one with you, and be glorified, that we may be a sign and wonder for you, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.